Hello, today is Thursday, November 8th, 2018. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. Last month, Verizon announced they are targeting to reduce their workforce by as much as 25% by offering a voluntary severance package. That's about 44,000 employees. In addition, they also hope to transfer thousands of employees to Indian outsourcer Infosys. So given this significant reduction in their workforce, we thought it would be useful to explore the likely impact the reduction will have on enterprise customers that rely on Verizon for their network services. I'm joined by Brent Knight, a senior consultant here at TC2, and Brian Carricker, who is a consultant at TC2. Brent and Brian each spent more than a decade working at Verizon before joining TC2. Okay, thanks guys for joining me. And Brent, let me start with you. What do you make of this recent Verizon announcement?
Thanks, Joe. Like so many companies, Verizon has identified personnel cost as a key component to improve its profitability and the long-term sustainability of its network services business. In my 10 years at Verizon, there was a constant focus on reducing the cost of human resources by eliminating, wherever possible, human touch throughout the sales, the ordering, the provisioning, the installation processes, or anywhere else that automation could replace personnel costs. This is no secret to Verizon's customers, especially their business customers, who have seen the steady reduction of account team support, the sales support staff, and other high-touch and high-cost human interfaces within the company. The sense was that just reducing general back-office support costs would not be sufficient to accomplish their profitability goals. It had to go deeper. And let's be real here, this approach was hardly unique to Verizon. Every company over the last decade has relentlessly focused on providing services at reduced cost to improve profitability. For Verizon, when it merged with MCI, it was focused on expanding the very healthy margins generated from its wireless business to every part of the company. So it wanted to transform the network services business model in something that looked a lot more like the wireless business, which is driven by a far more technology-focused model and requires far fewer people to touch the service as part of the customer experience. In contrast, network services required more personnel to sell and to continuously support the customer. Verizon understood overall market trends taking root in all kinds of industries and began moving the network services support model towards greater automation. A prime example of this has been Verizon's rollout of its VRD, or Verizon Rapid Delivery Platform. Verizon placed its bets on this system to simplify the delivery of their services and to drive personnel costs out of the business by essentially automating the way their customer interacts with various facets of the company.
So, Brian, do you share Brent's view on all of this?
You know, Joe, I really do. Brent's observations are real accurate. Verizon has been quite clear with its customers that it intends VRD to streamline processes, improve customer experiences, and remove and manage risk by reducing complexity. We now know by observation with our customers that Verizon is very severely limiting any special negotiated prices and terms. They're using and directing customers to standardize contracts and SLAs. There's a newly implemented order structure. And again, we know this because we see this is how Verizon's engaging their customers. You know, one of the things that we also know, the human interface has now become a web page where the customers enter their orders directly. If a role in the order and delivery process can be done by technology, it will be. As Brent indicated, this drive for cost savings is not only occurring in the enterprise-facing aspects of the process. This approach started several years ago internally at Verizon, and truthfully, this is across all the carriers. You know, 15 years ago, there were buildings full of engineers who monitored enterprise circuits, tested circuit faults, and engaged providers with break-fix services. Those engineers have now been replaced by technology. That technology observes the fault, tests the circuit, and refers the circuit out for break-fix issues to other providers. There's no human intervention there at all. If technology can do it, it's doing it. And it also makes sense that Verizon's rolling this out, Joe, to its customer-facing aspects of the business. You know, people are expensive.
So, Brent, if you look into your crystal ball, What do you see the future holding as a result of this workforce reduction announcement at Verizon?
Sure, Joe. I think this is a monumental step for Verizon. Enterprise customers have seen firsthand the cost reduction strategy that Verizon has been pursuing for over a decade. Each step in that process has brought them closer and closer to their ultimate goal of maximum automation to achieve significant cost reductions. This current announcement of a massive reduction in headcount signals that Verizon's efforts towards that goal are finally ready to be realized. The fact that Verizon has targeted a 25% reduction of its workforce and is providing significant financial enticements to its most experienced employees to leave the company announces very clearly that they are ready to take that next step in how they will support customers in the network services marketplace. And it clearly doesn't involve having a lot of real people resolving their customers' issues. As their long-tenured employees exit the business, a tremendous amount of knowledge about Verizon services, and more importantly, long-standing customer relationships, will inevitably walk out the door.
You know, those are some interesting observations. Do you see anything positive coming out of this?
Actually, I do. Yeah, I don't think this is all doom and gloom. I think there could be a positive twist to this personnel reduction. Some, and I stress the word some, some of the Verizon personnel that will leave are personnel that may have stagnated in their positions for a while and were probably looking for an exit strategy anyway. Let's just say these people may not have been bringing their A game each and every day to support their customers, and our listeners and clients see this a bit too often. Hopefully, for Verizon and for its enterprise customers, there will be some replacement of these people with a more enthusiastic and customer-focused representative.
Okay, good stuff. Thanks, Brent. Okay, Brian, what impact do you see this change having on Verizon's support model for enterprise business customers?
Yes, Joe, you know, in the past, contracts were written with detailed, customized information and services that the enterprise needed. Account teams took orders, project teams drove implementations, and updated customers and businesses moving forward. As we said, today Verizon is trying to move as many enterprise customers as it can to a standardized contract, an SLA. The threshold customers will have to meet to receive these customized services will continue to rise, being limited to the larger accounts. And that, like I said, that's going to rise. The interface with small enterprise customers and most mid-sized enterprise customers and some even of the large enterprise customers will be limited to a web interface with little to no human interaction. Moving away from BRD as a standard model is expensive, and enterprise customers are now being billed for services and support beyond what they're generally accustomed to. If you want a dedicated account team with design engineers, dedicated program management team, you'll have to pay for it. And we're seeing this happen in every industry, really. To draw a parallel, there's two large Tex-Mex grill chains here in North America. They both serve similar food. One restaurant, the chips and salsa are included when you purchase a main menu item, while the chips and salsa cost extra at the other chain. The old Verizon model was similar to the first restaurant where you ordered a service and Verizon supported that service with a team of people that came in with it. The new Verizon model appears to be more like the second restaurant. If you don't specify in the order each individual component of the process, support team and model, SLA and terms, you won't get those. The large account teams are no longer included with the service. Large account teams with program offices will continue to grow more and more expensive, and the threshold to receive or purchase these services will continue to rise. Again, these changes at Verizon are not haphazard. These are part of their long-term plan, and again, it's all targeted towards driving down expenses. Enterprises need to be on the guard to protect themselves and protect their SLAs and support levels. Things customers may have taken for granted because that's what Verizon's always done for them may not be what Verizon does for them in the future. The only way to guarantee you get what you need and expect is to ensure that it's explicitly agreed to in your contract.
Okay, thank you very much, Brian, and thank you as well, Brent. You know, I do appreciate you guys providing some great insight from your telecom industry experience, which I think is always useful when major changes are taking place in the telecom industry. And if you, the listening audience, would like to discuss how the shakeup at Verizon will impact you, Or maybe you have other ICT lifecycle needs you'd like to discuss with Brent, Brian, me, or any of our TC2 and LB3 colleagues. You can give us a call or shoot us an email. And you can also stay current by checking out our websites or follow us on LinkedIn.